Very, very busy week in the Alberta legislature as MLA's going full force in passing a variety of legislation. And with me right now is Peace River MLA Dan Williams. And Dan, as always, we thank you for taking the time. And the first question I have for you is that we saw it in the legislature. It was mentioned several times by several different people that Alberta Federation Labor President Gil McGowan had made a tweet, and just kind of looking at the language of it, it seems quite offensive. That's referring that it paves the way for nut bar religious charter schools and homeschooling that doesn't follow the curriculum. They're trying to create an army of brainwashed right-wing warriors. And I know somebody who is a very faith-based person. You got to find that offensive.
I think everyone should find that offensive. Kenny, let's backtrack and just remember that the president of the AFL, Gil McGowan, is a board member of the NDP. This isn't just some prominent Albertan. It's a prominent Albertan with associations at the highest level of the provincial NDP. And the fact that we have not had Rachel Notley or any of her friends and colleagues in the legislature from the NDP ranks apologize or denounce that language, I think is frankly offensive to all Canadians, whether or not you're faith-based. The fact is we live in a democracy, and a tolerant one, one that says if you choose to educate your children according to your beliefs, you have every right to do so, because for every parent I've ever met, their child and that child's welfare is their number one top priority. It concerns me deeply that this is really the hidden but true sentiment of a lot of NDP MLAs, that they really just think that choice in education is a problem because it will allow so-called nut bars or extremists, i.e. average Albertans, men and women and families of faith, to educate according to the beliefs. Instead, we have to stop that choice because the state knows better than families. In the end, I say no to that. In the end, I say I side with the parents. I side with whatever their decision is the right decision for their family. That's the top priority for this government, and that's why we're bringing forward the bill, the Choice in Education Act.
All right, Dan, and let's talk a little bit about that Choice in Education Act. Basically, what we see here is it's really the unlocking of options. So any parents, that whatever they want to do, it really does pave the ultimate freedom for it, doesn't it?
Well, the number one thing it does is it reaffirms a fundamental truth in education in Alberta, a proud tradition we've had of school choice for a long time, where we make sure it's abundantly clear that the state is here to help parents, not to replace parents, not to get between parents and children and their education. And that's why we quote from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and we insert it into the purposes, the preamble of the legislation. We say that parents have a prior right to educate their children according to their beliefs. Whatever those beliefs are, that right exists prior to any state responsibility to educate. It's the parents that are the guiding force in this, because they know and love their kids better than any legislative chamber can. So that's why we're letting folks make decisions for themselves. That's the number one thing it does. It also helps charter school applications. It allows, whether it be public school, separate schools in the Catholic system, charter schools, independent schools, home educators, any of these options, we say ultimately your responsibility as educators is to those children and the families that they belong to make sure that we're listening to their needs and not telling them what they need.
And on top of this, too, I think allowing more opportunities, doesn't this create an opportunity to, and the education minister addressed this, that there's apparently a backlog of 1,400 or 14,000 students, I should say, that are looking for places in education. And this sounds like something that at least if there's more people involved, more charter schools set up, it might help deal with that backlog.
Well, that's exactly right. What this does is for a lot of these charter schools, and let's be perfectly frank and honest about what they are, Kenny. They're schools that deal with children who have all sorts of different reasons that they might be in a charter school. There's examples in Edmonton where there are charter schools where they deal with special needs children. They deal with children who have learning disabilities. They deal with children who are new Canadians and don't speak English as a first language, who deal with cultural identities, and that's why they're going to those schools. So there's huge demand for those schools. I know stories, family, friends who say they moved across the province to get into a charter school because they couldn't have one in the community they were in, and it's made all the difference to that child being, you know, autistic and nonverbal, to being able to have a conversation. Those are the kinds of situations where a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work. And my fear is the NDP, out of pure commitment to ideology, are opposing parental choice. That's my fear.
Fair enough, Dan. And also, I guess one other thing that I'd want to mention, because I talked to somebody who had mentioned that they are looking to homeschool their child. It's a family out of Calgary, 2 years, and their son just turned two, and they're certainly thinking of doing it. But they said one thing that they understand is that under the current system, is that there's some oversight by a school board. Could you explain maybe what happens now with the oversight if somebody decides to be homeschooled should this legislation pass?
Yeah, so there's going to continue to be standards and oversight, as there always should be in education. Children are going to have to pass the same test provincially that they would any other time. I'm happy to send you a briefing technically as well, Kenny, for your information on exactly how that works. But bottom line is we're making it more accessible for homeschooling and charter schools in particular because of the approval process of how that works. So it's going to be more streamlined in that sense and less red tape, and parents are going to get down to the business of choosing their education rather than dealing with red tape.
Okay, and I guess the final question on this particular thing is that I know that there's been some chatter out there on social media or various other sources where some people are concerned that this could be a funding cut, but is it safe to say, and I just clear the page for us, is there any funding being cut?
No, absolutely not. A few things I want to make clear on this. One, this is not a budget bill. It's not a funding bill. This doesn't affect funding in any way. What this deals with is reaffirming parental authority, parental choice, saying parents are the ultimate educators, and that's why they get the ultimate decision and should have the most options in front of them, right? That's the number one thing that we're doing here. I also want to note that according to the CTF, over the last 8 years, independent schools have saved the taxpayer $1.2 billion. Home educators have, according to the same study, have saved taxpayers $0.7 billion. That's almost $2 billion for the past 8 years saved, which is no small amount of dollars. And it's because those schools educate on less per pupil than the public and the separate system do. So what that allows us to do is if we see more school choice happening, if we see people, parents saying, for whatever reason, this makes sense for me, I'm supportive of a public education system, but my circumstances at home need to be a home educator. When we see that happen, we end up seeing net savings come in to the government. And what that does is allows us to reinvest in more equipment, more resources, more bridges, more nurses, more teachers, everything that they want us, the public requires of us. But we're doing it more efficiently. So ultimately, school choice is a win-win-win. It's good for the students, it's good for the parents, it's good for the taxpayer, and it works perfectly well. And we see lots of public systems embracing school choice. I think that's one of the best parts about the tradition in Alberta is that it's not an either or; it's a both and. We can have public education and school choice at the same time.
Awesome, Dan. Well, thank you for clearing those things up. And now moving on to the file of justice. As we know, we usually hear a regular guest on the Trending 55 website is Justice Minister and Solicitor General Doug Schweitzer, and quite a busy week in his department as well. Obviously, we know that there's been some frustration from Albertans on how the federal government decided to hastily impose gun control legislation, and as well and now an Alberta parole board setting up, and this gives Alberta some independence, doesn't it?
That's exactly right, Kenny. We saw two initiatives come forward today in the this week in the legislature surrounding justice, one of which is the Alberta Parole Board, which was a platform commitment we made to say that we are going to appoint parole board members provincially rather than federally. It's going to allow us to focus on a Made in Alberta solution when it comes to rural crime, because what we're seeing federally and what we've seen under the NDP previously hasn't been working. And I don't need to tell that to anyone in peace country who's been a victim of rural crime. We need to start taking action that is meaningful action in defense of property, defense of the rights of individuals there to try and deal with the problem. So that's the one thing we've done. The other thing that we have done is we're bringing forward a motion which is effectively calling out the Trudeau government on their firearms ban, which is not addressing the problem of violent gun crime in Canada. It's just not. The facts are clear. No one disputes them. Violent gun crime in Canada happens far and away because of illegal firearms smuggled across the American border, not from law-abiding gun owners, not from individuals who want to go skeet shooting or go hunting, which are both legitimate, reasonable, good sporting activities to do. They take the safety and the responsibility of being a gun owner very seriously, anyone who's involved in those communities. My concern, I'm outraged, not because I'm a gun owner and I would like to keep my guns. That has nothing to do with it. My guns aren't going to be touched by this. My concern is that I'm outraged by violent gun crime, and an opportunity is being squandered by the federal government to deal with it legitimately. Instead of dealing with the actual problem, we see the Trudeau government virtue signaling and taking guns away from law-abiding gun citizens, but not punishing the criminals and the violent actors. That's the concern that we have in the legislature. We have a responsibility to be thoughtful and to produce good policy. We don't just do it for kicks and giggles. We're in the legislature or they're in parliament for the sake of Canadians and our more than anything else, our safety. That's what they've abandoned effectively, and that's my frustration, along with my colleagues.
And fair enough. And I guess in saying that too, as I always like to kind of remind people, is that someone who goes, follows the rules, and registers their firearm appropriately in accordance with the law is not likely to commit a crime.
That's right. And the stats are very clear on this. It's not loaded language to say that. That is abundantly clear, and I don't think there's genuine debate surrounding that. The debate is, what is the right policy response? Surely the right policy response is not taking away the rights and privileges of the individuals who've been acting responsibly. Surely it should be to go after the violent gun crime actors themselves and the source of those of that violent gun crime from the smuggling in of illegal guns across the American border. That is the concern that we should be addressing. But sadly, our federal government is not. And it's a tragedy for everyone who's concerned about violent gun crime.
All right, Dan, always appreciate the time. Is there anything else you'd like to add that I may have forgot to touch on?
Really appreciate talking to you every time, Kenny.
Always appreciate it, Dan.